Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Jason Duncan, Chief Storyteller at Miller Farm Media, to discuss how to take your storytelling to another, more strategic level to ensure your communications are truly communicating. And we're also going to discuss maybe a new paradigm when it comes to the sales funnel to help drive business growth. Jason, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Angelo. Appreciate it.
Why don't we, to get things started, why don't we let the audience know a little bit about you and your business and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I help businesses generate sales for their products and services using video. We know that people prefer to watch a video as opposed to reading something. We know that next to face-to-face communication, video is the most powerful tool that we have. So we take that and supercharge it by adding a sales process to it to make sure that our customers get results from those videos, not just pretty videos.
Okay, that's great. And we're actually going to spend some time talking about video along with a lot of other different things. I asked this question of all my guests before we get started. So when it comes to growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
I think what's kept me up at night for the last few years is all the disruption that we've faced. There are lots of new players to the market when it comes to marketing, and it's never been more. It's never been cheaper to create a video, so it's making sure that we are doing what we need to do to get results for our clients, so that we don't have to be part of that disruption that's going on in the marketplace.
Right, and there's certainly, when we think about video from the quality standpoint, right, everybody who's holding an iPhone walking around with a video camera, and they think they're a videographer, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're getting the quality, and the more importantly, it's not communicating. You're just taking a video of yourself or shooting some video, but as far as the kind of skill set that you bring to it is making sure, we're going to talk about storytelling, but the story is being told, and more importantly, that the message is being communicated. So I think that's something that you know, I throw caution to the wind. I saw that happen in the advertising industry when everybody with a Mac became a creative director, and so it really kind of changed the dynamics. But before we get into some of those details, really the idea of video and working into an integrated marketing program, it's really about how do we communicate with our customers in their journey, in their buying journey. And that leads me to a sales funnel, if you will. And I found this interesting stat. In 1898, E. St. Elmo Lewis created the sales funnel as a way to help visualize the customer journey from the moment they became aware of the product until actual purchase. That's 100 years that this sales funnel, quote unquote, has been used. It predates the Model T, yet we still use a sales funnel to sell cars today. So what's your perspective on kind of the current strategy when it comes to customer journey, sales funnels, those kinds of things? And we're going to talk about this in the next question, is there a paradigm shift coming in the way we need to really think about our customer's journey?
Yeah, when we start talking about journey, we still keep it simple, because I don't think that most brands are ready to hear the real truth of how complicated the journey is. So we talk about usually a three-step funnel. So it's called lots of different things. My favorite for a three-step funnel is warm, cold, warm, hot leads, right? Okay. Some people talk about a top of funnel, mid funnel, bottom funnel, which doesn't begin to tell a story for me. So that one doesn't work. I love what John Jantz of Duct Tape Marketing says about he has a seven-step funnel, which is know, like, trust, try, buy, repeat, refer. He calls it the marketing hourglass, where you get the people to the bottom, you flip it back over, and they go through the process again.
Okay.
There is a journey. We need to know how to create content for each stage of that journey, and we need to warm up, you know, companies to the idea that it's much more complicated than just three stops along the path.
Yeah, and I think that's important. There was a stat that I had talked about in another previous show about how many touch points it takes to get a customer from that kind of first touch all the way through a purchase. Now, in my sales process, I used to say, if I can't communicate with somebody within four touches, if you will, I'm pretty much done with them. When I saw this model, I realized I was just like 89% of the other people bailing out at four touches, where it's potentially to actually get to that sale was going to take somewhere between 7 and 12. So the same kind of thing along this customer journey and recognizing, you know, where are they at? How do you communicate with them? And truly, what is that? And we just can't make it up. We really have to talk to our customers to try to understand that. So when we think about then utilizing different integrations of communications, see, I'm way off topic here, but this is an interesting conversation to me. Where when we think about the integration of how we communicate, do you see video from point one, building awareness all the way through, or what other tools do you see from a communication standpoint to really help broaden out that communication?
I think video is the foundation, but I really think an omnichannel approach is the most important these days. Not everything has to, I think video should touch every part of the journey, but you need to supplement that. Say if you're on LinkedIn with other things. LinkedIn is the best example I can think of, right? So LinkedIn, let's say we've got a video that is about awareness, but the next day shouldn't be another video. The next day probably should be something else, you know, that's simpler for them to digest. And then, you know, creating other types of content within that space to continue to make those videos even more valuable.
Okay. When you post a video on LinkedIn, for example, and I do want to talk about videos on different channels, I'll do myself. So I post a video, I see people view it. I don't actually know if they're how much they engaged with it. I don't know if they're actually clicking and going somewhere. So how do we really drive more engagement as opposed to, maybe with video it's views, but you know, with LinkedIn posts we see views and that's great. I really appreciate it. All of you out there in my radio land, I really appreciate that. But how do I get them to engage more? How do I get them to actually, for example, go and subscribe to the show? Those kinds of things.
Well, that's a great question. So first, you need to make sure that your communication is clear, right? You need to have a proper format of your video to guide them to that next thing. You need to make sure you're always asking for that next step. When it comes to measurement, it depends on the platform. So LinkedIn is terrible right now when it comes to giving you metrics. You know that somebody watched it for 3 seconds, but beyond that, you don't know. So unless you can get them to get off the platform and track them that way, you really don't know what's happening on LinkedIn. The other platforms have figured out how to track engagement, which is very valuable. But at the end of the day, you need to get them off whatever platform they're on and into your system, ideally your email system, so that you can then make them part of your regular rotation in case one of those platforms goes away or suddenly decides that they don't like you anymore.
Okay, so we need to capture their contact information, if you will, or at least where they are in their journey and their interest level. Now, there's always a call to action, but have you found that when you're utilizing video and they click on it to serve them up something else as far as that call to action or deliver them some other value, or is the video itself should be the value?
The video should be the value, but it should lead them to either more value or a specific action. So typically what we say is, you know, at least a couple of videos to warm them up before they're going to take that action. In 2019 anyway, it used to be that you could make a video or send them to a landing page, they would sign up right away. People are starting to become leery of that because there's so much poor content out there. So you provide value so that they begin to trust you, so that then they'll sign up and that you can continue to push them down the path from there.
Have we reached a saturation point of content? I mean, there's I somewhere in my notes here, I read that, you know, the average consumer, average person consumes about 10 hours of content a day or information a day. We just remember in my ad days, we talk about they get bombarded with 5,000 messages a day. So there's so much information coming at them from so many different ways. And you mentioned the word disruption. So how do we break through that clutter, if you will, and rise above the fray and disruption? I'm going to coin that phrase, TM, disruption. And how do we get to that next level?
So we do have too much content. I mean, there's more content uploaded in one day to YouTube than Hollywood's made in the last 100 years. So there's the chance of your content standing out is slim to none. So that means we need now to create content that's of absolute value to our target audience, that either inspires, entertains, or educates. And if you don't do one of those three or have all those three in your content, then no one's going to find it. It's also supplemented with ads. So you've got to create the content for your target audience and then get in front of them, because it's rare they're going to find it on their own.
So you said inspire, educate, and entertain were the kind of the three items that you need to have within your video, or all three, or at least one or the other. Okay.
Correct.
Interesting. I started off talking a little bit about the buyer journey, and I mentioned the word paradigm shift. Do you see a kind of a paradigm shift in the way they're going on? I read this article about a new buyer's journey called the cyclonic buyer journey, and basically the idea that there's a lot more steps and they're spinning around because of all this information, hence the cyclone part of it. But so the pre-awareness, awareness, education, consideration, education, rationalization, decision, and ongoing. I mean, that kind of lengthened the whole process out, but do we see that people are, it's not just a very linear approach, that there really is a lot of movement within this buyer's journey?
There is, and the more that you can create content that keeps them engaged through their spin, if you will,
okay,
the better chance of you catching them when they're finally ready to make that decision. So everything you do needs to be of value, and it needs to have a lot of thought put into it, and needs to follow a system that you set up to make sure that you're there in the end, and you weren't just, you know, a stop before they got to where they really found the solution.
Okay. Do you have, before we move on to the next section, do you have one or two recommendations to the listeners about if you're going to set up this program, kind of your buying journey and how you move your customers along, what two or three tips would you give them? Or one tip if you want.
Well, we'll see how many I can come up with. I think the first thing we'll start with what not to do, and then we'll go with what
to do.
All
right, I like that.
So what I see companies doing, and this has been a source of disruption for us, but they started hiring editors internally. And the challenge is that editors aren't creative directors. They're not marketers. So you get video, but it adds to the noise. It's throwing into that pile of content no one watches. And you see this all the time. You go to a company's YouTube page, and they've got 5 views on something.
Yes.
So what we recommend is sit down and figure out what are the top problems that you solve, and focus on your first few videos on those things, really poking at the problem that you solve. Come at your content as if you were a servant. Don't think about, you know, those that think about content from a service standpoint, because you're in the market, you're in business,
right?
You provide a service. If you don't provide a service that's a value to the world, you're not in business anymore. So thinking of yourself as a servant to the marketplace with your content provides the most value and provides you the greatest return. And then finally, making sure that there's a campaign behind that.
Okay. So not a one and done, but really, again, a story, which leads me to my next question about storytelling. Now, storytelling is in your title, Chief Storyteller. And in fact, when I create messaging and brand strategies, I'm telling a story as well, not in my title, however. But it seems like storytelling has been a little blurred about what truly is storytelling. I mean, it's not the once upon a time. So what, in your definition, is storytelling, and how should brands think about telling that story within their context of their brand messaging?
Yeah, story is so misunderstood, and it's like you said, it's a buzzword people use all the time. And I run into that a lot when I tell people I'm a storyteller. I think everything I'm about to tell them starts with once upon a time. And I wish, because that would be so much fun.
It would be easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right? we should change the company into Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time Marketing.
Yeah. Copyright.
Yeah, copyright, trademark. Story simply is a system for communication often told from one person's perspective. So people don't care about your story as a company, they care about their own. So you need to bring them in to your story. So your customer has a problem, they look for someone to help solve that problem. You, as the company who's the mentor in the story, gives them a system to succeed that ends in success. Sorry, it gives them a path that ends in success.
Okay.
So that's a common story structure. You have your customer has a problem. They find you. You give them a system to succeed. It's a system that ends in success.
Okay. Yeah. So many times when I speak to potential clients and I'm evaluating their materials and their messaging, there's a lot of me, and not what is the value that I'm delivering for you, the client, or your client's clients and working backwards. And I think that in general is that kind of a customer first strategy, customer centricity, is going out and understanding what the real pain points, if you will, and what the really drives, you know, the end user, I'll to make it simple, and then working backwards to making sure that the products and services you're doing delivers on that. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you as well. When we think about video then, you mean, it, again, there's just so many different pieces to this. What is an average length that makes sense these days? And do those lengths of video change within the different social channels?
Yeah, length doesn't matter as much as it used to. Where length plays in is depends on where they are in the buyer's journey. So if they're new to you, to your brand, to what you offer, the video needs to be short. Again, depending on the platform, 60, maybe 90 seconds.
Okay.
We see a lot of brands getting great success with 6-second ads on YouTube. 15-second ads do really well within the Facebook, you know, Instagram world. So it really depends on where they are in the buyer's journey, what you're trying to do. Interestingly enough, videos that get the best engagement on YouTube are in the 7 to 14 minute range. So it really depends on where they are, how much they know about you, and how valuable is the information. It will determine how long the video should be and how long they'll stick around to the end.
Okay. There's one of the things I find in my consulting work is when I engage with a client, it's very tactical driven, right? We need this, we need that. We're producing all this material, and a lot of times there is no strategy to it. There's no overarching messaging and looking at verticalization and segmentation and all this kind of stuff. So really, when in approaching the idea of a video campaign, if you will, and tying it back into customer journey, I mean, I have to imagine that stepping back and being really strategic in what you're trying to communicate. So almost strategic video communications as opposed to video communications. What's your recommendation on, or guidance actually, to the audience about really stepping back, taking a breath, and making sure the strategies and the messaging is all in alignment before you start pulling the trigger on production?
Yeah, video is the same as all other marketing. It needs to start with strategy. Unfortunately, 99% of the calls that I get are all about tactics. We want a video, we want it for this reason. And when you start to peel back the layers to figure out what the real reason is behind it, the ones that do the best are the ones that are willing to take that step back and figure out the strategy that goes behind it. And the ones that don't succeed and waste money are the ones that are really just focused on tactics. And those are the ones you can't guide in any which way at all anyway.
What's the best way for measurement of a video? I mean, you made the comment, you go to YouTube and you can see that it's been viewed 5 times, those kinds of things. And the same thing even on LinkedIn or Facebook and some of those others. So what's a way to get a solid measurement? And isn't that call to action and sending them to a landing page? I mean, what do you recommend when you're working strategically with a client about how to measure the effectiveness?
Of course, it does depend on the overall strategy and the journey that you're sending them on. But at a high level, it's always about engagement. And that's what we love about YouTube and Facebook, is that you can see how much of the video they watched and when they dropped off. And you know, if that the majority of your audience is leaving at the 1 minute mark and there's still another 2 or 3 minutes left of the video, there's something wrong at that point that's not keeping them engaged and they're not interested in. So you need to go back and reevaluate that video and see how you can adjust it to get them to the end. One thing we'd like to do is there's certain video players that we can use off social media. So once we get them past YouTube and onto, say, maybe a landing page, we can actually track them and we know who they are. So we continue to send them more emails with more information that is valuable to them once we've kind of identified what their pain points are based on what they've watched.
Okay. This is a question about your business because I'm curious. Do you offer those integrated programs as far as, you know, said you're monitoring, you can see progress and sending emails? Is that a program that you integrate within your service offerings?
Yeah, we found that if we don't, that again, we can create the videos, but where we really shine is the video plus how we're going to, you know, generate some kind of action and in the end result video for that company. So we handle everything from the strategy to the measurement to make sure that they're getting, you know, monthly results with those videos.
Okay. All right. We talked a little about integrated marketing, and I found these facts about kind of video facts, if you will. So 75 million people in the U.S. watch online videos every day. So there's a market out there for some products and services, I would imagine. The mere mention of the word video in an email subject line, the click-through rate increases by 13%. Nearly 50% of all video is watched on mobile devices. Internet video traffic will account for 80% of all internet traffic in this year, in 2019. And videos up to 2 minutes long get the most engagement. Any other compelling facts on utilizing video that the audience should know about? Because, I mean, these are pretty strong rationales for why video should be part of your integrated program.
Well, people want to connect with other people. So videos that feature people actually do the best. We see over and over again when we run Facebook campaigns for clients, or that if we try to have something else in the video, maybe it's stats or whatnot, people, they don't glom onto that as well as if the video starts with a person, especially someone that looks friendly. It doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, a supermodel, but just somebody that looks friendly, approachable, that those videos do far better than anything else we could create.
So I think that leads me to my next question. The kind of, I'll call it a produced video, right? Building shots and blah, 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 versus what I see a lot, probably more often than I care to see, but, you know, somebody in their kitchen shooting themselves on video. And, I mean, are those effective? I mean, are people driving in their car and shooting themselves while they're driving? I mean, that's for me, that's, as a marketer, that's where kind of the noise level really starts to increase, that it's not being utilized the correct way and it's just people trying to get on the internet. What's your thoughts on that?
Actually, we are seeing that cell phone video or webcam video actually does fairly well, which, okay, I know it hurts me, you know,
yeah,
financially.
Hurts you
in that.
The pocketbook, right?
But, you know, we do create campaigns for clients that we coach them on how to get better results from their smartphone with video. Maybe they've got a sales team that's nationwide and they've got, you know, they're not ready for what the other services we offer. So it's the strategy combined with coaching and how to look good on a cell phone video, because at the end of the day, you know, the noise you're talking about, they're ignoring the basic rules of production.
Mm-hmm.
And shooting in your kitchen is okay if it fits your brand. I mean, if you are trying to attract CEOs, probably I wouldn't start there. I wouldn't be in my car either, per se. But if it fits your brand, I mean, for example, Goldie Chan on LinkedIn, she's grown faster than anyone, and her brand is not very corporate at all, but she's done very well because it's authentically her.
Okay.
She also was there every day with a video. Her channel is Daily Goldie, so it's not very high quality videos, but it worked for her because that fit her brand. So it's all about thinking about, what is your brand, what are the rules that I need to follow to make sure that this even cell phone content looks good, and then putting the right structure behind it to make sure that it succeeds.
So I'm hearing authenticity is key.
Yeah, and being true to your personal,
to your
brand, whatever that is, if it's personal or corporate.
Okay, well, believe it or not, we're almost done. Man, it went by so fast. So are there any, I know I asked you about recommendations for the audience before we get into the kind of the final chapter here. Are there any other one or two recommendations that you think are important that you'd like to make that we haven't talked about already?
Yeah, when it comes to ads, it's no longer about just using Facebook or just using LinkedIn or just using YouTube. You need to figure out where your target audience is. So if you're a B2B brand, it's about omnichannel, right? So it's a LinkedIn campaign that creates a follow-up using Facebook ads. If you're on YouTube, you probably will add some kind of combination with Facebook. And I get a lot of pushback from B2B brands when it comes to the word Facebook, but 70% of the world is on Facebook.
Right.
And it's a good opportunity for B2B brands, even if it's just remarketing from the website. And no matter how many times I say that, they turn that off and they always go back to LinkedIn.
Well, B2B people are people and they're on Facebook. So I do agree with you on that. So, Jason, tell the listeners how they can reach you and tell them about your all your different channels that you're on.
Yeah, so they can follow me personally at Jason Duncan on all platforms. I'd love to connect with them on LinkedIn. I have a weekly video series that I do there, which provides video marketing advice. And then also once a week, bring in an expert to talk about some area of business that pertains to the people that follow me on LinkedIn. I also do another series that's on YouTube at Miller Farm Media. And they can also check out our website, millerfarmmedia.com.
All right, fantastic. I hope to be on that series with you. I know I just have a video coming out that you actually shot.
Yes, today.
I think it came out today. And then also for the audience out there, we'll be promoting it. Jason and I are going to be doing a webinar coming up in the next several weeks, I'll say. So thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me and read my blogs or view my show videos at theponzagroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn, which is the easiest. You can also subscribe to the show at the Business Growth Cafe, or you're now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and others around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.